Hello, my name is Dorothy Friedlander, and I'm Vice President for Risk and Compliance Programs at the American Bankers Association. It is my pleasure to welcome Knut Oman from Risk Connect. He's here to talk about the rise of ESG, that is environmental, social, corporate governance, the compliance of it, and why financial services companies should pay attention to it. Welcome, Knut, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. It's a great topic that I think people really will be interested in hearing about and really should be paying quite a bit of attention to.
I agree, absolutely. So, all right, so I've already got my first question teed up on ESG. And my question to you then is, why should banks and financial services companies be worried about ESG compliance?
Banks and financial services companies should have always been worried about ESG compliance, as it's been around for quite a long time. It's just recently been formally monikerized as ESG compliance. And with the ability of investors and individuals to get more detailed information around how banks and financial service companies are managing themselves, but also managing their investments, it becomes very important that there's something in place for those organizations to follow. Report came out earlier this year that stated, you know, 60 of the largest banks in the world financed $3.8 trillion into fossil fuels between 2016 and 2020. Now, those same organizations are also saying that they're going to be trying to change the way that they work in order to help facilitate, you know, the environment and more climate conscious programs. So it's almost like there's a separation between what they're doing internally and how they're financing things, but investors and individuals out there don't necessarily see it as such. And one of the main reasons why this is so important is that outrage by individuals happens at the speed of information, regardless if it's been verified or not verified. It makes it imperative that organizations can respond to whatever is happening and have a plan in place to try and manage some of the outrage and work on some damage control immediately. If you don't have some sort of concept in place around how you're going to try and triage something that comes up from the ESG space, it makes it very difficult to get ahead of things and try and understand, one, what's happening, two, why did it happen, and three, what's the best and most appropriate response that that organization can put out there?
Well, and that leads me to really think about being proactive. I mean, you've talked about this a little bit, but what do organizations need to do right now to be proactive and to begin to implement the best practices when it comes to ESG compliance?
Well, the first thing that I would say is, if you don't already have some sort of an ESG policy in place, to establish an ESG policy and understand from the top down, what do you want to think about when you're trying to support ESG compliance, and what's the board view on it, what's the C-suite's view on it, and then how can that communication be perpetuated out through the organization? You know, it's important because whenever there's a failure, that failure is the only thing that people remember, regardless of all the other good that your organization does, or that the organization that experienced that particular failure does. You know, there's many historical examples around this as well. When you think about Ford and the Ford Pinto and the fact that there was a manufacturing or design defect that could cause your gas tank to explode in the event that you were rear-ended, and that Ford was aware of it. And then it eventually came out that management at that time had sent a memo around saying they weren't going to fix it because it was cheaper to resolve the lawsuits after the fact. That's what you remember around that situation, not everything that Ford has done since. It's things like that just pop right directly to the mind. You know, you can say things like, you can talk about organizations like Volkswagen and their diesel emissions, you know, Theranos and their inability to follow up on the claims that they were able to provide all of these tests from a single drop of blood. Established ESG programs and policies could have helped mitigate or potentially avoid some situations like that due to the fact that it was something that you had, you know, overarching policy around, and you were looking to identify where in the organization something like that could occur. And is it, you know, a single problem, or is it something that's more perpetuated throughout the organization that you want to get ahead of? And it's very difficult to manage and track manually, and trying to do it in some sort of a program, whether it be, you know, a GRC technology like Risk Connect or something to similar to that, it becomes much easier to try and manage in the, you know, if you have it established in some sort of electronic format.
Yeah, well, actually, you just led me into thinking of another question. I know that Risk Connect is a leader in GRC technology. So can you go into a little bit more detail about how GRC technology helps to bridge those gaps that exist right now?
Yeah, so we're recommending to organizations that we're working with that are establishing, you know, their GRC programs that while, you know, you may be thinking about things like your financial risks, your investor risks, your price risks, you know, and things like that, you also want to try and establish a category around ESG because it's becoming very important and a very noticeable thing in the marketplace. Everyone is talking about ESG, and that means that it's something that you should be thinking about now rather than waiting for someone to establish some sort of a standard, right? Be a front runner rather than, you know, a lagger. And by establishing an ESG policy, you know, with an application like Risk Connect, create your ESG policy in the system. You could establish your ESG-based risk library. You could tie your risk libraries, those risk library entries to different parts of the organization, and the supporting business processes for those parts of the organization, and then relate it back to your ESG policy. What that allows you to do is create this very nice web of information so that in the event that emerges, you know, and there's a failure that's identified either by your internal audit program or your compliance program, or hopefully, you know, before an external regulator finds it and issues are identified there and documented in the report, what you can do is you can track either that risk to see where that risk exists in other parts of the organization, or you could say, we know that that risk is tied or related to our ESG policy. I want to go directly to the ESG policy and see all of the risks that are related to this ESG policy. And I want to try and see, is this an isolated incident, or is this something that could happen in other parts of the organization as well? So since we've identified the issue for that, and we've established what actions we're going to be taking in order to remediate the issue, now we can start doing those remediation activities in other parts of the organization before it's identified by audit, before it's identified by compliance, and before it's identified by external regulators. And they can keep the fact that this problem was perpetuated throughout the organization, but only identified in one single place. I can keep it from being identified in those other parts of the organization and say, we already fixed the problem because we saw it was here. We saw that it was related to our ESG policy and a policy failure. And we see, we know where our ESG policy needs to be applied to different risks throughout the organization. So we proactively went and did a review of those risks as well. And we found, you know, that there were potential problems there. And, you know, maybe they self-report an issue and indicate the actions and complete it that way. Because self-reporting an item and then showing, you know, when audit comes in to take a look at things, or compliance comes in to take a look at things, showing them that you self-identified an issue and you already have the actions in place to remedy that problem goes a long way with them from turning that into a reported issue to maybe a recommendation, right? So it's trying to make sure that if something is identified, I want to be able to backtrack that to the policy and then see what are the risks that policy has and fix it for all those other risks first. And that can be done with Risk Connect.
Oh my goodness, this has been a great conversation, and frankly, I could go on forever with you, but unfortunately, our time is running a little tight. So I have one last question for you. If someone wanted to continue the conversation and learn more, how would they get in touch with you or Risk Connect?
I would recommend that they go check out our website, riskconnect.com. That's RISKONNECT.com. Or send an email to info@riskconnect.com to, you know, get some additional information.
Thank you for taking time today. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.